Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
I think the best place to look is when it first started. What does Peter say about the gift of tongues in Acts chapter 2? Why don't you turn there with me? Now, if you have no experience in the church or no experience in the Bible, what happened here on the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit fell upon these Jewish people that were following Jesus Christ, disciples, and they began to speak out in languages that they had not learned or studied for, and the people that were around heard them in their own language. And it was something supernatural that took place. And Peter is going to describe it because the people around said, these people are drunk, they're out of their minds. And Peter's going to say, no, here's what's happening. And he's going to go back to the Word of God and say, this is scriptural what's taking place. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by Joel. And he's saying what's happening here was actually spoken prophetically by the prophet Joel. And in Joel chapter 2, it says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. In the last days is basically from the time of Pentecost on. We're living in the last days. And so he says he's going to pour out his spirit on everybody. Young men are going to prophesy, old men will dream dreams, verse 18. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So Peter associated the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, to what was taking place that day on the day of Pentecost. He says God predicted this would happen. It's the evidence of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the believers. Now read on. Let's see if this is supposed to stop. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. So Peter projects this prophecy way out into the second coming. Says God's going to be pouring his spirit out upon the church all the way till the day that the Lord comes back. And look at this next part. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we know that's going on, isn't it? If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. We know that's happening today. So you can't come to this prophecy and rip out apart and say, well, that's for today. I don't really like this speaking in tongues thing, so that must have stopped. Peter projects it all the way out to the second coming, and during this time he's going to be pouring out his spirit. During this time there's going to be the gift, and during this time anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So scripturally, I don't care what has happened in church history, scripturally, Peter predicts through Joel that these gifts are going to last until the Lord comes back. And anyone that calls upon the name will be saved in that time period as well. Gee, I'd hate to say, well, you know, sorry. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you had to be there in the first few centuries. Otherwise, this prophecy does not apply. Wouldn't that be horrible? I think you have to take it all together. Peter's saying, God's pouring out his spirit. He's going to continue to do so until the Lord comes back. So tongues will cease in themselves. There, I think it's just a matter of Paul using a different word, a different, you know, for style. Sometimes writers do that. Instead of saying the same thing three times, he just mixes it up a little bit for style, grammatically. Writers do that continually within the Bible. It's just another way of repeating themselves without using the exact same word. So I don't think Paul's making any great prophecy that tongues is going to stop, you know, down the road a little bit. I think it's going to stop when these other gifts are going to stop. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. So knowledge and prophecy, it says, are going to stop, not to be used again, basically to be abolished. Something's going to happen to cause that to happen for prophecy and knowledge. And by the way, I think he's just using these three gifts as a demonstration of all the gifts. So all the gifts, at some point, they're going to become unnecessary. And in the context, we'll get to what that is. But Paul says something before we get to that issue. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in parts. See, again, he's expressing what's eternal, what's full, love is full, knowledge and prophecy is only in parts. That means the gifts of the Spirit have their place, but they do not fill in all the details that we need. God is not going to, through prophecy or through a word of knowledge, tell you everything about your life that you want to know. We only know in part, and later he's going to say we see through this mirror dimly. We only have certain facts to go by. We don't have all the truth. And even with the gifts of the Spirit, they're not intended to give you every answer to your question that you may have. All the difficulties that we go through, obviously the question is, why God? God never said he's going to answer you in completes, give you a full answer. He says you're only going to know partial things. And so the gifts have their place, but they are not meant to replace walking by faith in Jesus Christ. He's not going to give us everything that we need to know. There is going to come a point where he's going to do that, he says, but that's way in the future when we're with the Lord. And then we'll have all the answers that to the questions that we have. But until then, there's this big gap of saying, I don't understand what the Lord's doing in my life, why he allowed this certain thing to take place. So we're left to trust him. And by the way, if God told you everything about your life, first of all, you wouldn't believe it. Second of all, you'd be praying for the rapture of the church every day. You'd want to get out of here. And then you still wouldn't understand. Do you think if God said, okay, let's have a conversation, let me tell you all my plans, you would understand him? Well, let's look at Romans 11. I want to encourage you with this passage about the Lord. Romans 11, verse 33. This is why God does not explain everything to us at this point. And even the gifts are not meant to bring in that, fill in that gap. Verse 33 of Romans chapter 11. He says, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. See that word depth there? It literally means inexhaustible. There's an infinite supply of God's wisdom and knowledge. He's beyond our ability to figure him out, to anticipate, or to understand him completely. We only know him in part, because his wisdom is inexhaustible, and we only have a little bit of that that he's passed on through the Word of God. He says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That means even if God told you, you wouldn't be able to understand. And oftentimes we want to say, well, just give me a word from God. Let me know what you're doing. And God's saying, even if I told you, you would not be able to figure it out. You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. I think the best illustration is, you know, I have a 10-year-old, and she knows how to do math. She knows how to add, supply, multiply, divide, those types of things. If I sat down with her and said, I'm going to teach you calculus right now, not that I know calculus, but and I started rattling off all these principles, do you think she's going to understand? There's a huge gap there. She knows this much, and that's good. But there's a huge gap of all this other information that she has not learned yet, does not have access to. I'm trying to explain these complex things, magnify that out with God. If God says, okay, let me explain to you something, we wouldn't be able to understand it. So that's where faith comes in. We say, Lord, I know you're in charge. I know that you are in control. Look at verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? We don't know what the Lord's doing. Who's known the mind of the Lord? God reveals small things to us, but no one knows all that he has for us. That's again why I say, watch out when someone says, well, the Lord showed me to do this, the Lord showed me to do that, the Lord showed me to do that. So if they have this direct access, because usually what they start doing is saying, the Lord showed me to show you that you need to do this. And that's where it gets real dangerous. Not only do they know God's will for their life, now they know it for your life. Be careful. That person's out of balance. They may have the right intentions, but they're out of balance there. Or who has become his counselor? Who sits down and says, God, this is what you should do in this situation? Don't we try that, though? Lord, this is what I think you should do. Isn't that foolish? We're going to give God counsel. Oh, Lord, he's patient with us. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid him? What have we given to God that he owes us? God doesn't owe us anything. We are eternally indebted to him. He paid our eternal debts. So God doesn't owe us anything. We're indebted to him. Let's keep that in mind. Now, I think verse 36 gives us the answer to everything, but not the specific answers. It's a general answer. For of him and through him and to him are all things. That means everything belongs to God. He's working it out. He's the source of everything. Trust him. You can't figure him out. His wisdom's inexhaustible. You're never going to fully understand God. So everything comes from him. Everything comes through him. Everything belongs to him. So you simply trust him. I think that's Paul's answer. It's not like here's everything you need to know. What you need to know is that everything belongs to God, comes from God, and is through him. And if you know that, you could hang in there during the tough times, realizing, yes, God is allowing this. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust Him. Because He's promised to bring good out of the situation. So we're saying, well, give me this revelation, this vision and dream. And God's saying, I'm not going to do that. He may or He may not. But even if He did, it still doesn't explain everything. He's not going to take that area away where we just have to walk by faith. The gifts of the Spirit were not meant to do that. The gifts of the Spirit are to help us to walk by faith and to trust Him, to build us up, to strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. See, they sometimes become out of focus. But you know what the Lord does want you to do and me to do? Is to walk in love. Someone wrongs us, we need to continue to love them, forgive, be merciful and kind. Although we don't understand why in the world that would happen, why, Lord, You'd allow that to happen. God says You're not going to figure out, but what I have already told you is to walk in love, be merciful and kind and forgiving, and don't keep a record of wrongs. So you want all this information that God says, I'm not going to give to you, but here's the information He has given us, and we're just kind of throwing that aside. Yeah, but God says, no, walk in love. That's what you need to know. You need to know how to respond to that situation, that person. Walk in love. You want to know what love is all about? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I think He's given us the general answers, but not the specific. And sometimes what people in the church want to do is they want to have all the answers all lined up, and they think it's going to be through the gifts of the Spirit. So if they have a dream and a vision, a prophecy, a revelation every day, every second. No, God says, trust Me, you walk by faith. He'll give us some in parts, but not all of it. So I don't have answers for your life. I don't have answers for my own. Some of the things I've been through in life, I don't know why the Lord allowed it. I know eventually when I stop asking that question, why, it's usually when I settle down, I just say, okay, I'm never going to figure it out. I'm just going to trust You. Then my heart comes out of peace with the situation. I don't understand it, but I come to peace with it. Okay, God's allowed it. I could rest in that. I don't even have to know what He's doing, why He's doing it, or when it's going to happen, but I come to a rest when I just say, this is from the Lord. He's permitted it. And I need to continue to walk in love.